Your copy of his book, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I know that some of you weren't here this morning in different places and serving and different things like that. And I won't go over the whole introduction. By the way, do you have an outline? If you need an outline, I've got little outlines for everybody tonight. Just if you need one, raise your hand. Ushers will be glad to give it to you while I'm talking. It's more of a lesson. But anyhow, this morning we kind of rehearsed some of the things we went through in all of chapters, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the whole book. Chapter 16, I gave you 3 points here: money, ministry, and ministers. And I said, instead of preaching those things, I was going to preach 3 different sermons. This morning I preached one on ministry. And we talked about how Paul had said that a great and effectual door was open to him there in Ephesus, and he was going to stay there in many adversaries. And I shared with you that at Shenandoah Baptist Church, there's a great and effectual door here, because every local church, the Lord opens and closes the doors. And many adversaries, you're going to have battles in life. But we talked about that a little bit. And then eventually, maybe Wednesday, but eventually we're going to get down to the ministers, or all the people that, from the rest of that chapter, it talks about all these people that God's using and how important they are. And everybody has a place in God's purpose and service and all that. And tonight we're going to talk about the money part, the first 4 or 5 verses there. I'm going to go ahead and give you a disclaimer here. This is not a comprehensive lesson on tithing and faith promise and offerings and all the things of the Old Testament. But it is something that, as we fill in these blanks, it'll give you some things to go back and think about and look up on and research, because it's very important. I think it's a whole lot more important, if that's the right word, giving than most people realize. And more to it than just throwing some change in the offering plate or giving something here and there. And so I don't know if I get all that out tonight, but we're going to talk just a little bit about that, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Father, bless this night and help us and lead me, Lord, because we need to hear from you. And I know I can get in the way. And I pray that you would help and work and override. And Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts, and that this would be a service that glorifies you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And I hope you have your outline. I put the title there, Giving is a Given. I just been a little thing there. But we'll talk about this some more in just a few moments. But in talking about this, before we even get started, I just want us to think about this. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, He gave. And so there's a lot to this. And I'll not be able to cover everything. But I want us to look at a few verses before we even get started here. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 23, and then we're going to come back to Luke 18. I'll read a few verses there. We'll eventually probably give you a lot of verses. If it's not already there, I'll give you a lot of verses to go with your outline. But I want you to think about this. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, I'll give you a moment or two to get there. Jesus is referring to the scribes and Pharisees and rebuking them. And the reason I'm reading this is because a lot of people say that the tithe is the Old Testament, it's not New Testament. I agree with you that it started in the Old Testament, and lots of verses about it. Matter of fact, in Leviticus 27, Deuteronomy 14, we need to read up on that and research all that and all the ways God talks about that. It's very important and all that. But look here in verse 23, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and ants and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." In other words, I just want you to see there, there are weightier matters, there are some things that are out there, and they didn't even know they're saved or not, but he did not tell them not to give. So that a lot of people say he was saying, yes, you ought to tithe. We ought to be tithers and givers, a tenth and all that. Tenth and tithe and all that. Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, another little place here, 18:12. Then we're going to get back to 1 Corinthians in a minute. We'll be in 2 Corinthians some other places. But Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, again, the guy that's praying, he says, "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." I'm not saying he was a good guy. He was bragging on himself. But the point I'm trying to make is the tithe did not go away with the New Testament. I will say this. Giving became a whole larger outreach, a whole different plane, because the tithe in the Old Testament, most of it was used to help the children of Israel, to the things they did, all the work they did, the priests, the Levites, all that. They would also take up extra offerings to build buildings and do different things like that. You read that in Chronicles and other places. But when we come to the New Testament, because we're no longer under the law, the tithe is still a good starting place, but that's all it is. It's just a starting place. It's something we do. And there are preachers out there that believe the tithe is a local church, some that don't believe it's not through the local church. I don't think they're going to get, I think John R. Rice didn't believe it was a local church. And I read a tract he wrote and got saved, and I think he's in heaven and a good man. But I believe the local church is the place where we do this, because we're going to see that as we go along. It's the main thing, and it's pretty clear to me. But anyhow, that's where we're at on this thing, on this giving. So, number one, giving is first place. That's filling in the blanks here. It's first place. It's not just, and again, what I'm saying, I'm not just talking about tithing and offerings and faith promise. I'm just talking about overall giving, okay? And the whole idea behind here, number one, it must be first place. The Lord is always what? He's first. Anything has to do with the Lord is first. And so, you say, well, I'm going to tithe. I guess I'll give, even if I don't believe it, I'm going to do it. So let's see, I'm going to pay my house and pay this and pay that. And if there's enough left, I'm going to tithe. Well, you've already missed the boat. Yep. That's the first thing that comes out. The very first check, you're right. The very first thing. And by the way, I'll get more in detail about that in a few moments. But it's not just the tithe, it's everything, but he's the first. Number one, under the little one, the first mention in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. I'm going to read this. We won't read all these for time's sake, but I want to read this one. The first time the tithe is mentioned is Genesis chapter 14. And this is a story of Melchizedek and Abraham, or Abram. He's not even Abraham yet. And he says in verse 19, he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him, Abram gave him tithes of all that he had. The only person we worship is God, so when we give, we're giving to God. And by the way, that's important. You say, well, I give to the local church. You've heard people say, I give to the preacher. I give to this. I give to that. You can get on television and give to a thousand things. But the blessing that God has is we give back to God what he's given to us. And so Abraham gave tithes to the Lord back in the New Testament. We see the first time mention of that. A tenth or tithe is mentioned. And then number two, it's the first fruits of the increase. Proverbs 3:9 talks about the first fruits of the increase, of all that increase. Let me try to say that in English. The first fruits of all that increase. In other words, sometimes we get this mentality because the way we are, we get a check for our job or whatever you have, and let's say it's, I'll just use a figure that ends in the right kind of number so I can do this. Let's say you get $400. And by the way, I know there's gross and net and all that kind of stuff. I learned it this way. The most is gross. That's what you want to do, whatever it is. Before they take the tax, if it's yours and you're paying taxes out of it, you pay the tithe. If you get $400 and you only get $350 coming home because they kept $50, and you can tell I don't work in finance because I don't know all the percentages there, but I'll say this, I tithe 40. 40, because that's what you got. That's what, 40%. Why? Because he's first. You tithe on the first fruits, and they mention it. So of the increase. And by the way, and then somebody says, well, praise God, I do that. But what if some other way a blessing comes in? Somebody just gives you some money, or you inherit something, or something else comes by your way. We're also to tithe on that because it's of the first fruits. Think of it this way. Don't think of it as, oh, man, I just got a $1,000 gift. Now I'm going to have to give 100 of it to the Lord. You may have not had the whole 1,000. I mean, 900 is better than nothing. And plus, God's going to bless that. He can always take the 90% and do more with it than we can on 100%. And we know that. That's not just cliches and saying those kind of things. Now, let me say this lest I forget it. I think I wrote it in here. God blesses, and we're going to talk about it. He proves himself. But don't get the idea that you can tithe and take the other 90% and live like the devil with it. There's other principles in there. God still wants us to pay our bills on time and do the things we ought to do and be frugal and all that kind of stuff. And so that thing, remember that. All right, so one, first mention, first fruits. Number two, number three, upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4 is where we started here. And the reason that's important is because we worship the Lord on the first day of the week. He came out of the grave on Sunday, the first day of the week. And that's important that we understand that. Now, I know this portion of Scripture right here, they're not necessarily talking about their tithe. They're talking about giving to help the people who are in poverty there in Jerusalem. If you'll carefully, and that's what this outline is for you to go back and study, if you'll carefully study all through the Bible, you'll find out that they were constantly trying to help those in need. The things that were going on then with the Christians because of the persecutions and all that, they lost their jobs and things. They were widows that needed help. We know about all that. But also, if you'll read carefully and even go back in the ministry of Jesus, Paul and all of them, Paul said, I've robbed other churches. When he said that, what he was saying was this, he also used money that was given to him from other churches. Sometimes he built tents. Sometimes he did those things. But we get our faith promise and our missions from that because people cannot do the work of God unless they got the money to do the work of God. And so, praise God for that. And so, the first day, number four, it's first you must give yourself. Take your Bible, turn over to the next book, 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 and 9. We're going to be there for a few times. I want you to look at this. Chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are some of the best chapters in the Bible as far as explaining our giving and how to give and things like that, grace giving. But he says in first, ourself, number 4, 2 Corinthians 8, 5. And this they did, and you need to read the whole chapter, and we'll hit some up. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know, you've heard the old sayings, how much did he take with him? None of it. He left it all behind or that, those kind of things. But the truth is, and I don't have it with me, there's a poem that talks about that, and it uses Matthew 6:33 and all those verses, and laying up your treasure in heaven. He said, no, he sent a lot of it on. So we can send some things on, you know what I'm saying, when we give and give to the Lord and give it. But it starts with ourself. You remember when the apostles were praying and praying, therefore, Lord, send forth Lord of harvest, send forth laborers and all that kind of thing. I mean, I've seen people pray that. I've prayed that. I used to pray that, and then I became called of God to be the preacher. And so a lot of times we give our own selves, and God says, I'll be willing. Be careful about that. So when you give your money, first give yourself. God, here I am. It's your money. It's called stewardship. We know it's not ours anyway. Everything we have, our breath, is God's, and we thank the Lord for that. But anyway, and then number 5, little 5, first, a willingness. Look at chapter 8, verse 12. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. A willing mind. Let me read the rest of that verse or say it again. According to that he hath and that he hath not. Sometimes, and you know, I'm preaching this because this is where we're at in our Bible, but also I know we're getting ready for a missions conference and other things like that. And this is a giving church from what little time I've been here and all I've seen. But here's the deal. You don't need to feel guilty if you can't give. And you don't need to try to give something you can't give. It's just as wrong to try to give a lot of money for pride's sake or whatever as to not give it. The motive has to be right. You have to have a willing heart. You say, well, I'm not paying my bills, but bless God, I'm putting some extra money in the church, and I'm going to cut my throat right here. But the tithe is the Lord's. It comes first before the bills. But you need to be paying your other bills, too, before you start giving a lot of extra things, unless God gives it to you to give. And so, you know, we're not tricking God or trying to deceive him or try to get some kind of blessing for doing this. We're just trying to be obedient. And by the way, if we'll be obedient, God usually makes it where you can give more because he blesses us and better to give than receive. And so number one, giving is first place. It's first mentioned in Genesis as a type of worship to God. It's the first fruits of the increase, the best. It's the first day. It's first we give ourselves, and first we must have a willing heart. Big point number two, as Mr. Clayton would say, Brother Harold, giving is following a plan. Giving is following a plan. Number one, following is proving God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10 in that area there. I'm going to turn back there if you want to. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. I like this word. By the way, sometimes we're afraid to use these words, but God's not afraid of this. He says in 3:9, he says 8, will a man rob God? And I know I could really get serious with this thing right here, but it's a scary thing to rob God. And people would, and we say rob, we think about pulling out a knife or robbing a bank or doing something like that. But God says, well, let me just read what he says right here. In verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. They do surveys, and I don't know how surveys work. I never have figured out surveys, political or any kind, because I never have answered these questions. Because I'd probably throw the survey away if it came in the mail anyway. But they say that even in churches like this one, everybody doesn't tithe. This is just they go through this surveys and find out how many people give and don't give, and it's amazing. So it's a scary thing, but make sure you tithe. And he said, have robbed God with tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time. In the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen, don't misunderstand this. There are times we have people have financial needs. Things come up unexpectedly. Murphy's Law, you've heard of that, I'm sure, and all these kind of things. But I can tell you this, time and time in 42 years, be 43, March 16, 2018, 43 years being saved. I can tell you this, time and time again, we have tithed and gave and gone through some hard times financially. I've made some dumb mistakes on other things and tried to invest in things that didn't work out, but I kept tithing. And I've seen God make our shoes last longer and our clothes last longer and less. Our kids, unless they were like near death, they didn't go to the doctor or anything like that. That may have been just a choice, but I mean, that's just the way we were raised. You know, I didn't want to give the doctor the money, but anyway, especially when you could just go out and get some Dayquil or something, make it work. But anyway, but what I'm saying is, I'm being funny, but I'm being serious. I truly believe this. Time and time again, God has protected us from the devourer because we've been willing to give. And so I wouldn't. Even if that's not true, I believe that is true. That peace in my heart is worth it. And so. Prove God. He said, prove me now herewith. It does take faith, but prove me now, saith God. And then number two, following is planned. 2 Corinthians 16, 1-4, I just mentioned that. But there's a planned time to give. And he said to these churches in Corinthians there, he said, I want y'all to do as I've told all the other churches in Macedonia and all the other churches in Galatia and all that. In other words, he had a plan that on the first day of the week, they would set aside their offerings. Now, I know he wasn't talking about the tithe, so don't be real critical here, but here is the point. What he was saying was this. He said, I don't want to arrive there and my presence cause people to give a bunch of money to those people in need, or we take time to do that. He said, in a regular basis, and he talks about this more in 2 Corinthians, prepare to bring that you've prayed about and have it already there I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of now, but in a bundle or in a bank or in a holding place or whatever, have it there so that when I come, that's not what I have to do. Now, the Bible gives us other examples. He's not saying you don't ever raise money for something or have something like that, but he is saying this, be careful. Many of your charlatans on TV are robbing widows blind by their way of asking for money and doing these kind of things and presenting their work. We need to be real careful about that. I know some people that are that way. It's not wrong to ask, but he's saying, if we're really going to help them, let's go ahead and do this orderly on the first day of the week. When you come, by the way, that means when you show up for church and you're presenting yourself first, you show up for church and you have the tithe, of course. You cannot give to Faith Promise Missions if you're not giving your tithe first. I'm sure we'll hear that in the weeks to come. But then whatever you're doing for the others, for the poor, he said, lay it aside. A lot of reasons for that, and I believe these are all biblical, but he don't want us feeling guilty. I said that earlier. I just don't believe God wants you. He says God loves a cheerful giver, not a grudgingly giver, or not someone who's giving because he's being seen. Oh, they didn't see me put any money in. That's not the right motive. And so we lay aside as God has prospered us in a planned. Number three, following is to prove our love, our sincerity of our love, 2 Corinthians 8:8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. If you're not giving anything to God, and by the way, I believe this, and I know some people differ, but I know what we say, give our tithe, but honestly, you pay your tithe. Your tithe is God's. If you just said we've robbed God, so you can't give something, it's already His anyway. He's entrusted with us. But the offerings and the other things that we talk about, God is saying to us here, we need to prove our love. If we really love something, we believe in something, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then when we give it, listen, folks, it could be a young person that makes $10 a week in I start saying allowances, but I don't want to get into that subject. They need to work for it, yes. But anyway, they also ought to. But anyway, stay off that. But whatever it is, if it's just a dollar tithe and they want to give a dollar something else, they ought to be able to pray and say, listen, I got $9 left here, and I heard that Brother so-and-so's having some problems, and I'd like to be a part of that. Church is taking up an offering. Then they ought to be able to choose themselves to give that. Because they're loved. They need to be taught that and understand that. And not feel guilty about that. But anyway, so proving and planned, and prove our love. And then verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there might be a performance also out of that which you have. In other words, we need to perform what we said we was going to do. Sometimes in the heat of the battle or the midst of excitement or whatever, I've set some of my most exciting and nervous times, I guess, are sitting in a church service hearing a missionary preach or talk or tell about his feel, and my heart's saying, I want to give him some money. I want to go there. I want to do this. I want to do that. You know, my eye affected my heart and all this kind of things, you know, and I'm wanting to do that. But at the same time I'm doing that, I don't need to say, I'll give $50,000 because he wouldn't get it. I mean, I don't have it. But I need to be praying, but at the same time, their excitement is there. So I may say, okay, I'm going to give so much money. Well, if I say that, then I'm to perform it. That's what it makes it. So listen, folks. What that does for us is helps us to pray and spend time with God and find out what God really wants us to do. Some of us make enough money that we can just put something in there. You know, let's take up money to do the seed ministry down here. Let's take up money to this. Okay, and just throw something in there and keep doing that, but pray about it. God may have you give less. He may have you give more. I'm not afraid to say that. I want you to give what God's told you to give. And but make sure we perform it, not just talk about it. How many times have I read stories or heard preachers preach? Even in my own life, I've seen this happen where somebody has promised us something. Brother John, one of these days we're going to give you this. I'm talking about a church situation. We're going to give Gateway Baptist Church this. Or I promise you so much money. Yeah. Some of it I've yet to see. Sure. So what I'm saying is be careful. When we promise to do something, let's make sure we go through with it. That way, make sure you pray and do these things. And so, then 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. It needs to be provided for, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. When money is given or handled, it needs to be done honestly and above board, above reproach. So one of the ways that you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They said to Peter, we've sold this land for so much money. And they both went to heaven early. Because, God said, Peter said to him, listen, when it was your land, you could have sold it for however much you wanted to. You could have sold it for $1,000 and only gave $500. Said, listen, we sold it for $1,000, but we kept $5. We need it for some other things. We want to give $5. But they lied to God. And so things need to be provided honestly, and it's done here. And we have all those, the records and all those kind of things. But people accuse and people say things, so it needs to be done the right way and provided. And also on our paperwork, on our end of it. So things provided honestly, both in our giving and also the handling of it after it's giving, and what it's designated to and all those kind of things. And then he says also in chapter 9, the same book, chapter 9, verse 7, look at verse 7, every man according as he purposeth, I can't say that, in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so as he purposeth in his heart. So in other words, when our missions conference comes up, but also other things. The tithe is not even a question. It's obedience. Right. It comes out first fruits right off the bat. Now somebody says, "Well, I get paid every 3 weeks or every 2 weeks." I think God understands that. You can break it down, see what it should be for each week. You understand that, but anyway, it needs to be in there. And so those things, but what above that, what you purposes. You know, you've prayed about it and you decided to do it and give it not of necessity, not grudgingly, not squeezing it and saying, "You know, okay, everybody knows I should give." And by the way, as the interim pastor, I could get to thinking, what should I give? Just like, you know, it's like anybody would do. But I don't. Where's Miss Betsy? I don't worry about it, Betsy. I don't care. But I could think, do they see how much I give? You know, sometimes we do that. You know, well, hear me out on this. I know people have different beliefs about this. If you're doing what God's told you to do, what difference does it make? Right. If anybody sees it. That's the whole point. You're doing it for God.
Right.
You know? And so those kind of things. And don't let that bother you. Then big point number three, as we fill this out. Did I tell you at the end of the service we're going to take a big offering? I'm kidding. Giving requires faith. Faith, number one, faith to believe. Hebrews 11:6, I actually mentioned that this morning also, that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We must believe that He is. And I read R.A. Torrey's biography in his early days when he was getting started in the ministry. He had a hard time preaching. He said he would get sick every time he preached. It just took him a long time. By the way, I still do that. I've been preaching for a long time. It's nerve-wracking to do these things for God. But he talked about his giving. He had gotten in debt. He was $600 in debt. Can you imagine? That'd be almost like hallelujah for us, right? But, I mean, back in the day, and it took him 2 or 3 years to pay that off, but $600 back in the 1800s. And he said there came a time for reading his Bible and eventually said, "Okay, I'm going to get out of debt. I'm not going to get in. I'm going to trust God." And he tells about all the times that he went through things where he'd read about George Mueller and all the things there. And so he started praying things. Eventually got to where he didn't take a salary and live for God. And just he would tell how all this happened. But there came a time later on when he moved to another ministry and he started receiving a salary again. And he said in his things, he said, "I do not believe it's wrong to receive a salary." He said, "I went through a period of time where I proved God and I knew God could." And so he said, it helped me in my life. And so now he went ahead and took that. Because some people, listen, if we're not careful, we'll listen to just what men say. And here, I love George Mueller and I hear about what they do and all these things. But you got to know and I got to know what God wants us to do. See? And he does it differently with some people on that. But it does require faith. Believing that He is. And by the way, it wouldn't be good faith or faith if you gave and expected it back the very next moment. Or if you always got it back. Because here's the whole thing. Catch this. We don't give to get anyway. But we do get to give. And so we're not that's not the issue here, but it does require faith. If you say, "Well, I'm tithing, I'm giving, but something hadn't come in, or something tore up, or whatever," that's faith, believing that He is going to reward you and take care of those things, and He does. And then number two, little two, faith to go beyond. I'm back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. This will be our missions theme this year. "For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." And so I put down there, faith can help us go beyond. I've read these verses many times over the years and studied them. I don't know them. I don't say that I understand them all just yet, because in one moment he's saying, make sure you do this the right way, and they're in deep poverty and all this. And the next minute he says, they gave beyond their power. So God gave them a grace somehow maybe to give up something. And by the way, there's a lot of things I could give up. Hershey bars, Hershey kisses, Hershey's with almonds. Hershey's chocolate in your milk. Hershey's chocolate on your ice cream. You know? And so God is so good to us, but giving requires faith. Faith to believe, faith to go beyond. And number three, faith to give bountifully. It may seem like the same thing, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 6 and 7, or verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now there's not a number figure there, because everybody's income and opportunities and ability are different than others. But that sowing, in other words, if we sow little, we're going to get little. If we sow a lot, and the idea is like in farming. You put out an acre of corn, you're not going to get 10 acres of corn. But if you put out 10 acres of corn, you're going to get 10 acres of corn. You may get a whole lot more bushels than that too. I mean, so we sow, and if we give, God's going to give according to our faith. So, giving, it's first. It's following a plan. It requires faith. All these verses I give you are a lesson for you and me over the next few weeks to take and kind of look some of them up. Maybe read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 and be praying about our missions conference. Be praying what God would have us do. And there's other needs the church has, of course, always something. Every church that's doing something for the Lord is going to have financial opportunities to give. I'm thinking of, I don't want to mention this out loud, but there's somebody right now that I'm going to talk to people about that I think needs some help. We might want to be able to help. But we do this based on what the way God wants us to do it. Isn't that good? He's a good God, isn't he? Would you bow your heads, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Giving. There's so much I didn't say I wanted to go in depth with. Something that you and I will have to individually search and pray about. But being able to give something back to the Lord's cause that God allows us to do. I just think there's more there to that than just doing it. And I'm praying God will help us and help me. There's been times when I've been able to give more than I have done before. There's been times when I haven't because of certain situations I was in. But always to give. Praise the Lord. Father, I just pray you'd bless the invitation.